When some in our country identify America's national treasures, they list historical documents like the Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, and so forth. Others list geographical locations like Philadelphia or Boston or someplace like that. Others list people, cultural icons. Many on their lists are entertainers, professional athletes, presidents, sometimes even media moguls. But I would say that our greatest national treasure is really our mothers. Mom, we want to say to you, Happy Mother's Day. I hope that God would bless you and give you a great day today. Do you know that George Washington said this about his mother? He said, "All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." Abraham Lincoln also spoke highly of his mother when he said, "I remember my mother's prayers. They have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life." I could definitely relate to both of those men and what they said about their mother. I could say the same thing about mine. There is so much that could and should be said about mothers and motherhood, but here are a few statements that I ran across that were either spoken about mothers or by mothers. As a matter of fact, it's interesting. There are two quotes here that I want you to hear that are from the general public about mothers. There are two quotes that are from mothers, and there are two quotes spoken by little children, as only children could say. The first one is this: life doesn't come with a manual, it comes with a mother. Isn't that true? By the time a woman realizes her mother was right, she has a daughter who thinks she is wrong. I definitely have seen that happen in my life. My greatest blessings, call me mom. Certainly that was written by a mother. And then I like this one, how touching. She says, "I didn't give you the gift of life. Life gave me the gift of you." How appropriate and how special that would be to hear your mother say that to you. But then some children somewhere said this: babies are connected to their mothers by a biblical cord. I love that. And today we're going to look at that biblical cord that connects us to mothers. But then another child said, "Storks don't bring babies, you silly. They come by UPS." So kids can definitely say some amazing things. But Luke had more to say about mothers. As a matter of fact, I feel he had the most to say about mothers. When you read Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2, that's what he focused on. The first two chapters of his gospel were the birth accounts of John the Baptist and also the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote these things about AD 60, but they still are so true today. This morning, I would like to honor all of the mothers who are watching and listening by focusing in on one of the mothers that Luke describes. Her name was Elizabeth. Jesus thought highly of Elizabeth's son, John the Baptist. As a matter of fact, Jesus said this about John the Baptist: "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than he." Can you imagine such a high compliment being said about you? That's found in Matthew 11:11. So let's read about this mother of John the Baptist, this woman named Elizabeth, and see what we can learn about her. It says in Luke chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7, "In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. Sounds like an impossible situation, doesn't it? But I want to jump on down in this account to Luke chapter 1, verses 57 and 58, because I want you to know the rest of the story. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer, and would you join me as we ask God to bless all the mothers watching this morning? Lord, there are many things that we could thank you for. We could thank you, for example, today for our salvation in Christ. Thank you so much for loving us so much that you would give your son for us. We could thank you that we have a copy of the Bible, the Word of God, eternal, thanking you so much for the wisdom that is found within it. We could thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit who lives within every child of God. There's so many things, but we this day, we want to say thank you for our mothers. Lord, you have blessed us. You have given us such a tremendous treasure in each mother. And so I pray today that you would use this message to honor them. Help us to give them the thanks that they deserve. Help us, O Lord, to let them know that we see their great example that they're living out in each of our lives. It is in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Well, I would like for us to look at five reasons why I want to honor all of the mothers today. So I pray that what I say will honor you, Mother. You know, Billy Sunday, an evangelist from the past, he said, "Try praising your wife, even if it does frighten her at first." I pray this won't frighten you. I pray it would encourage you. So let's look at this passage together. Would you focus in with me on verses 5 and 7 in Luke chapter 1? You know, the first reason why I believe we should honor you today, Mom, is because more than anybody else in the family, maybe, you have demonstrated and shown us how to endure hardships. You know, we could assume in 2020, living here in America, that the people back then had it so easy in the good old days. That's what we could say, because here we are in the midst of a pandemic. But you know, I believe that would be a mistake if we assumed that. I want to point out at least two things that would have been a struggle, a challenge for Elizabeth and Zechariah, her husband. I believe that she also had to endure some tough things. For example, she had to endure the moral corruption in the country at that time. You see, I like the way that Luke anchors what he's about to tell us in real time. You see, this really happened, and he tells us who was on the throne in Judea. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, is what he writes. So all of this would have taken place. Elizabeth and Zechariah were trying to live out their lives when Herod was king. You know, he ruled for 33 years. He murdered 3 of his own sons. He also murdered 1 wife. You know, you've heard before that a cat has 9 lives. Herod had 9 wives. So imagine how ruthless this man was, that he would kill members of his own family. So it was a terrible time in terms of the moral corruption that was in the country. But she also endured something that was probably more difficult than who was running the country. She struggled over something that was missing in the family. There was a personal omission in the family. She wasn't the first. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, you know Abraham and Sarah. Sarah had this missing for a while. Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, several different women in Scripture faced the same struggle. It says here, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. You see, I believe this was a personal thing for Elizabeth because it says the problem was with her, and she must have struggled with that. Do you know that back then there was a cultural thing that people assumed anyone who's given children is blessed by God? And certainly children are a gift and a blessing from God. But what about those who are not able to have children? Are they cursed by God? That was the idea back then. So it would have been culturally difficult, but also I believe it would have been a prolonged hardship that Elizabeth went through. Because it says, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were, get this, advanced in years. Advanced in years. So this was a problem that never seemed to go away. Month after month, year after year, Elizabeth would pray and still no baby. You know, moms face a lot of troubles, a lot of hardships that perhaps we don't even know the rest of the family, all that they're going through. You know, on a lighter note, I did hear about one mother who was putting her four-year-old to bed. She said, you know, little Johnny, this is the last day you'll be 4 years of age. Whenever someone has asked you, how old are you? You always held up four fingers, right? Tomorrow, you can't hold up four fingers. You're going to have to hold up five fingers. So tomorrow, when somebody says to you, how old are you? What are you going to tell them? Little Johnny spoke up. He knew the answer. He said, I'll tell them now, I'm a handful. Wow. I bet he was, little Johnny. Well, let's move from the first reason to the second reason. There's another reason, Mom, why we want to honor you this weekend. And that is because you, more than anyone else in the family, encourage relationships. Now, I realize that it's not always true that the mother is the one working the hardest at developing relationships. But in most cases, I believe that the mother is the heart of the home. Yes, the dad is the head of the home, but the mother is the heart of the home. She's serving, she's caring, she's sacrificing, she's forgiving, she's nurturing, perhaps more than anyone else in the entire family. I want to point out a couple of things about Elizabeth before we move on to the next thing. You see, I believe that Elizabeth demonstrates that mothers have a vision for a relationship through their commitment to marriage. A vision for a relationship through her commitment to marriage. You know, verse 5 says, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron. And her name was Elizabeth. You see, Elizabeth said, I'm not going to go for this idea of moving in with one another, seeing if it's right. If it is, we'll keep going. If not, you know, we'll just end it. No, Elizabeth and Zechariah were cut from a nobler cloth. And they said, you know what? We're going to wait until we know for sure. And when they knew for sure, Elizabeth said yes to Zechariah's proposal for her hand in marriage. You know, I believe that a wedding and a marriage is very, very sacred. And I believe that it says when you're willing to enter into that commitment, I see a vision of us together in the future. You know, as a matter of fact, I heard about one dad. He had attended a wedding. It wasn't his wedding. He was sitting in the pew with his family. His son was sitting beside him. And somehow, as he heard the minister going through the vows and through all the different things, he kept thinking, wow, I hope my son is paying attention. So later, after the wedding, when they were in the reception and they're all gathered around the tables eating, the dad kept thinking about how the minister had said, you know, what God has joined together, let no man separate, let no man put asunder. So he says to his son, just sort of abruptly, son, were you listening today during the wedding ceremony? Yes, Dad, I was. Then, son, how many women should a man marry in his lifetime? The little boy thought. He reflected back on all that he had heard. And he said quickly to his dad, I would say 16, Dad. The dad was horrified. 16? Why would you say 16? Well, he said, well, the minister said, four better, four worse, four richer, four poorer. To me, that equals 16. Isn't that right? You see, it wasn't quite right, but he thought he was right. I want you to know that God's plan is for one man and one woman for their life. You know, I believe that also she demonstrates not only the vision for a relationship through her commitment to marriage, but she also demonstrates the value of the relationship through the continuation of a marriage. Through the continuation of a marriage. Remember what we learned already from verse 7? They've been together a long time. This was a senior adult couple. I can't believe that this August that my wife and I, Jody and I, will be celebrating 35 years of marriage. I hope I'm right on that. She'll be watching this. But 35 years of marriage. Wow. Time flies when you're having fun. You know, I believe that God meant, he intended for a marriage relationship to last until your last breath, for a lifetime. I know that sometimes it doesn't, but you know, Jesus said there's only one thing that could ever end a relationship. And you know what it is? Immorality or adultery. That's the only thing that would ever cause a marriage relationship to end. That's written in Matthew 5:32 and again in Matthew 19, verse 9. And I believe the reason is when something like that takes place, the spouse feels, you don't value me anymore. But God intended for us to say, I do value you. And that's why I'll be committed to you until my very last breath. Well, let's move from the second thing of encouraging relationships and that first thing of enduring hardships to enriching discipleship. Because, Mom, that's one thing we see that you are so good at. You know, as a matter of fact, I believe that most pastors, we see this because it's the women who are most often involved in Bible study with one another. You see, Elizabeth, like her husband Zachariah, was raised as a PK. PK stands for preacher's kid. So Elizabeth's father was a priest. He was a preacher. But also, Zachariah's dad was a priest or a preacher. But God noticed a different level of discipleship in their marriage than just religion or just ritual. It was real. It was genuine. So how did they do it? I believe they did it by two simple things that are both found right here in verse 6. It says, and they were both righteous before God. They were both righteous before God. You know, I believe that the Lord was the core of their family life. The Lord was the core of their family life. You know, when I proposed to my wife, I said to her in the words of a song, will you be the second love of my life? My first love would be Jesus. My second love would be her. You know, if a couple will build their lives on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, wow, do they have an incredibly strong relationship that will stand through all the storms and all the tests of time. But I believe that the Lord was the core of their family life, and I believe that the Word of God was the standard for their daily life. You see, whenever they were trying to say, is this something we need to do as a couple? They would go to God's Word. What does God's Word say about it? Is this the attitude that we need to have today? They would go to God's Word. Should we say it like this? They would go to God's Word. That's why it says that they were walking. It means they were living blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. I was thinking, you know, John the Baptist was definitely a strong son, no doubt. But today, in 2020, who's one of the strongest young men you know in America? I'll tell you one I thought about, Tim Tebow. So I got to thinking, has Tim Tebow's mom ever gone on record for how she raised her son? And you know what I discovered? Pam Tebow wrote a new book. It just came out last year. It's called Ripple Effects. Ripple Effects. So I want to share with you a little bit lengthy quote here, because this quote doesn't come from Pam Tebow. This quote comes from her son. And what he's going to say is, you're going to hear, how did she live? She based their lives on Jesus Christ. She filled their lives with the Word of God. That's what you're going to hear during this quote. So just sit back in your recliner, lean back in your couch, and just listen to this. The only reason I'm here today is because Mom gave me a chance. 31 years ago, when she was pregnant with me and really sick, A doctor told her I was a mass of fetal tissue. In fact, this doctor strongly recommended that mom abort me, telling her that if she didn't, she would probably die. But mom chose to trust God with her life and mine. While you know how that story ended, in this book, you'll get to read about the details of what she went through in the process. Not only did my mom give me a chance at life, but through her example, she also gave me a chance to live my best. She cared for me and my four siblings through her love for Jesus. She engrafted the Word of God into our hearts by singing Bible verses to us. She loved us selflessly, even when life was hard. Mom was always encouraging, cheering for me from the sidelines, encouraging me after losses, and humbling me after wins. The impact Mom had on me and my brothers and sisters is almost indescribable. No words can adequately express the depth of her love, the power of her example, the strength of her spirit, the beauty of her soul, and her commitment to God in words and in action. From having the courage to be one of the first parents to homeschool their children, to moving her family with Dad to a mission field in the Philippines, far from the comforts of home, to living out her faith day in and day out as a wife and mother, Mom has shown me what it means to love God and serve others. She is truly one of my biggest heroes. I thank God for her every day. In the pages that follow, you'll read story after story about how God showed up through Mom's willingness and her leaps and sometimes tiny steps of faith. You'll learn about the building blocks of becoming a woman of influence, like realizing the importance of prayer, studying the Bible, using words to uplift others instead of to complain or criticize, trusting God when nothing makes sense, finding strength in spaces of weakness, and above all else, cultivating a deep relationship with Jesus. I'm confident that as you read this, you'll be encouraged that God can use you, no matter what season you're in, to affect those around you. Mom, wouldn't that be touching if your son, your daughter said that about you? You know, I know a lot of mothers in our church and grandmothers, and I tell you, I know if I interviewed their kids, they would say something very similar about their mother. I want to move to a fourth reason as we go back to the example of Elizabeth. She reminds me of something else I see in a lot of moms. And that is, you enjoy fellowship. You enjoy fellowship. You know, if there is one person in my life who enjoys family vacations, meals around the table, devotions together as a family, playing a game together as a family, it's my wife, Jody, the mother of my daughters. Perhaps it's like that in your family also. You know, if you're having difficulty in finding joy in your family life, you know what it might be? Somebody is not finding the well, the spring. Because Jesus was talking to a woman that also had family problems. She had been through several marriages that didn't work out. But she was so thirsty, and she came to a well. And Jesus said, you know what? You can have a spring, a well on the inside, so that you'll never thirst again. And that dear lady said, oh, how long to have that kind of well. John 7, verses 37 through 39 tells us the Spirit of God is placed within a believer whenever we trust Christ as Lord and Savior. And from that moment on, the Spirit of God can become like a river living within. So I got to thinking about how verses 14 and 15 give us a clue as to how Elizabeth could enjoy fellowship. I believe there was the inflow of the Spirit in verse 15 when it says that little John was going to be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. There's the first infilling, but that's not the last one. Do you know that three times in Luke chapter 1, you're going to see the same thing? This is about the baby, but guess what? Two more times are coming up. But are you being filled daily with the Spirit of God? Is His life flowing through you? If so, then you're also going to enjoy verse 14, where it says, you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at His birth. You see, the Lord brings joy as we're filled up with Him. You see, the fountain is also seen later in verse 41. It says in verse 41, whenever Mary went to visit Elizabeth, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Before it was John, but now it's Elizabeth, right? So now she's filled with the Spirit. Before we saw, oh, because she was filled with the Spirit, because the baby was filled with the Spirit, there was joy in the parenting, there was joy in connecting with others. But now you can see something else. Whenever she's filled with the Spirit, she's blessing others. She's thanking God for the blessings that come upon her life. And what is really interesting is when you drop down to verse 44, it says, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Mom, you know how you'll continue to see joy in your kids' lives? You'll see joy in their lives the more they see Jesus in yours. The more you're filled up with God and saying, God, have all of me. You have all of me, God. The more you're filled with the Spirit, the more your family is going to see the joy of the Lord flowing through your life. As a matter of fact, even Zechariah gets in on the action in Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Way down the line, he has the filling of the Spirit in his life, and so he overflows with praise and joy. Oh, I'm just encouraging you. If you've never allowed the Lord to just flow through your life, allow Him to do that, because joy will follow it. Just look at our mothers and the example they're setting. Well, let me end this message with one more thing. One final reason we want to honor Elizabeth and many mothers that are watching this morning is we want to express our thanks for showing us also how to enthrone lordship. How to enthrone lordship. Now, I've seen this so many times in my own mother's life. You know, if you were to ask my mother, what's your favorite verse? Oh, she would say, oh, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know, don't trust in your own way. Don't lean on your own understanding. You know, let the Lord work out His plan in your life. She's always been that way, my whole life. And then now in my wife's example, over and over again, these two key women in my life have exemplified one thing, the lordship of Christ, letting God be on the throne in their lives, and as a result, we get all these blessings. You know, I was looking at, how do you do that? Well, I think you do that through prayer, and I think you do that through surrender. So let's look at Elizabeth's life. You know, the angel says to Zechariah, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. I believe that Zechariah and Elizabeth prayed night after night, week after week, month after month, year after year. Please, God, if you're ever willing, please bless us with a child. You see, when you pray, you know what you're doing? You're inviting the Lord to be in complete control in your life. And that's what they were doing. And then I noticed something else. It says, for he will be great before the Lord. And then in verse 13, it says, for the angel said to him, do not be afraid. And I got to thinking about how there's something we're missing if we don't study this passage closely. Do you know that up until this point, God had not spoken for 400 years? The Bible is silent from Malachi to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. From Malachi to the Gospels, 400 years, God doesn't say a word. Right there, Luke chapter 1, verse 13. That's the very first time that God says something through an angel. God speaks and says, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer's been heard. You know, that's incredible, that 400 years. Why did he pick him? I mean, there were 20,000 priests at that time. Why did he wait until it was Zechariah's time? Because Zechariah and Elizabeth were surrendered. They were praying for God's will to be done. And when it says that his son would be great before the Lord, You see, he was going to be the forerunner to the Messiah. God had an incredible plan that he revealed to Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 40. And he said, someday there's going to be a man and I'm going to put him on this earth. And he's going to say, prepare the way of the Lord. And you know what? That somebody was John the Baptist. So this couple was going to fulfill a plan that God had 700 years before revealed. You know, Mom, I want to thank you so much for letting Jesus be Lord of your life. And because you let him be Lord in your life, God's going to work out his plan in your kids' lives. I want to end the message by saying something that dawned on me when I was finishing this message. You know what is more significant than your children saying, Mom, we want to honor you this Mother's Day? You know what's more significant than that? You know what's more significant than our church saying each year to our mothers, we honor you, we thank you for all that you're doing? You know what's more significant than ever since 1914? That one time a year, we have Mother's Day. America's been doing that. Your country's been doing that since 1914. But the one thing I thought is, for God to honor somebody. And then it hit me. He did, didn't he? He included this Mother Elizabeth. If he hadn't have put it in here, we'd have only known about John the Baptist. We wouldn't have even known his mother's name. But God wanted this in his word for a reason. And so I thought to myself, how powerful that God would do that. You know, if you were to read what Zechariah prophesied and what he sang in his praise song at the end of this chapter, you would see that this mom and this dad, they also acknowledged it's through Christ that we need redemption. It's through Christ that we need salvation. It's through Christ that we need mercy. It's through Christ that we need forgiveness. It's through Christ that we need peace. And they were going to find it. You can too. You know, if you're here today and you're a mom or a dad, I hope this has encouraged you. But if you're without Christ and you're a mom or you're a dad or maybe a boy or a girl, student, I just want to remind you of something that when I was walking yesterday around down by the river, I was memorizing my verses. I was reviewing my memory verses, and I thought about Isaiah 53:6, where it says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to be placed on him. I thought about how it's telling us the problem is separation. It was caused by our selfishness, but God has a solution. You know what that solution was? Same thing through the ages. The substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus died on the cross so that you could be forgiven. I know that sometimes when I preach a message like this, someone may wrestle with guilt. That was not my intent. My intent was to honor and to encourage. But if you're dealing with guilt, then maybe you should bring your sins beneath the blood of Christ and let him cleanse you. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, I pray for anyone that heard this message today that may be struggling with their sins. Lord, they haven't brought them underneath the blood yet, and they're still carrying them around, and it's getting mighty heavy, Lord. Would you free them? Would you help them to lay down their sins? Would you help them to just acknowledge that they have made bad choices in their life? They have sinned, but help them to repent and turn from those bad choices. Help them to say, please forgive me. Please have mercy. I trust in what Jesus did for me on the cross. I welcome you, Lord, as the risen King, to come into my heart and my life, to lead me and guide me. Oh, please encourage them and infuse them with your power. Energize them with your power. Lord, I also pray for our mothers. Would you give each mother today a very, very special blessing? You pick it out, Lord. Whatever is the number one blessing you want to give to each mom, you just bless them with a very special blessing today. Thank you for this time that we can pray together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've made a decision today to trust Christ, we at First Baptist Church Columbus would love to hear about that. Why don't you drop us an email, call us, let us know that you pray to receive Christ. But God bless you. Once again, Mom, you have a wonderful day today. You're a gift to all of us. God bless you. Thanks for joining us in this broadcast.